Hi, this is Pastor Danny Hyde of the Oceanside United Reformed Church. If you live in North County of San Diego, looking for a church that reads the Bible, preaches the Bible, sings the Bible, and prays the Bible, we invite you to join us every Lord's Day for worship at 10:15 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. to worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. To find out more about us, go online to oceansideurc.org. That's oceansideurc.org.
Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Is your local church to you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did God give us the church? What benefits result from being an active living member in the Church of Jesus Christ? Dear listener, why do you need the church? So thankful that you've taken time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. We always want to direct you to our website at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. You can download the podcast. You can write to us. There's a form to fill out there. Support us online if you wish. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Call us at 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook and download the apps for your smartphone so that you can take Abounding Grace Radio with you at your convenience. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We have the privilege of having Pastor Danny Hyde from the Oceanside United Reformed Church joining us today on Abounding Grace Radio to give us an introduction to Pastor Hyde, his church, also to consider some of the excellent work that Pastor Hyde has done. I'm going to call you Danny here from now. That Danny has done in writing a few books, one in particular titled Welcome to a Reformed Church, which explains for us what a Reformed Church is, what you can expect when you walk into a Reformed Church. And today we're going to be looking at some of these very important questions about the church and looking a little bit back to our history as Christians, understanding the Reformed tradition. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Well, thanks, Danny, for being with us today on Abounding Grace. Let me begin by just having you tell us a little bit about who you are, your background, your history, what led you to where you are today to be a pastor. I mean, such an important calling. Was that something you always felt, something that you always wanted to do? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. It's a big series of questions there. I'll do my best. I'm a Southern California native and grew up northern Orange County, southern L.A. County, and was baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. I later on became a believer in a four-square church in Hermosa Beach, California. Went off to college, played basketball, and then a small Christian college that was affiliated with the Assemblies of God, so Pentecostalism. I youth pastored in a non-denominational Pentecostal church, and while that was happening, was really searching for something stable, secure, and firm, seeing all the flaky Southern California Christian experience that I was a part of, and not a lot of foundation, doctrinally speaking. And so that led me to reading through a professor's recommendations, books by Martin Luther, C.H. Spurgeon, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards, other well-known names that people would know. And that led me to Westminster Seminary here in Escondido, in California. And at the end of that time there, felt called by the Lord to start a church for people in a coastal part of California where I was from, where I am from. And that led us to start the Oceanside URC back in 2000. So I've been here for 15 years plus, pastoring, preaching, trying to track down wayward sheep, trying to save the lost, do all that stuff. So just a SoCal native who's seeking to bring the eternal word of God to a changing world.
Yeah, that's helpful. I love hearing the story. And then, and of course, because you've kind of, you've been down a whole bunch of different paths in the evangelical tradition, from Pentecostal to being a youth pastor. That's fascinating. You know, and I think today most people, Danny, when they hear about a Reformed church, I'm not even sure people know what that is. Danny and I pastor close to one another. We're both in a federation of churches called the United Reformed Churches. It's a small federation of churches. Most people would have never heard that. In fact, anything with the name United probably makes people very scared. But, looking at Reformed church tradition, what is a Reformed church? I don't know. I sometimes try to sit back. I grew up in a Reformed church, so I was blessed always to be trained in the Reformed tradition. I think people hear that and they think, well, what in the world is that? Are you guys offsetting yourselves from Christianity? Are you some radical new sect? What is that? Are you which I've heard before, one of those strict groups? You know, how do we explain what a Reformed church is? Are we do we tell people we're just under the umbrella of Christianity? Help us out with that, Danny, to explain, since you've written this excellent book on Welcome to a Reformed Church.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story. When our church first started, our first service, we needed to have a sign, a big vinyl sign out in front to let people know that we were there and what time we were meeting. And so the gentleman that was in charge of getting our sign for us, who was a part of our core group, went out and did that and brought it back. And the first Sunday, we went to unfurl the sign on the street. It said Oceanside United Reform Church, which either is a form of Judaism, Reform Judaism, or it's a reform church for a bunch of bad kids. So, what is a Reformed church? The basic answer, it's a Christian church. And at the time of the Reformation in the early 1500s, there was, in the Western Latin-speaking world, there was the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. And so out of that Reformation came basically two large kinds of Protestant churches, those churches that were protesting certain doctrines in the Catholic Church. And so there came to be what are called Lutheran churches, and then there came to be what are called Reformed or Calvinistic churches. And so for us, that word Reformed is not a way to say that we're totally different, we're setting ourselves away, we're strange, we're weird, we're a cult, we're a sect. It's a way of saying that our church, that we believe that our church is a Christian church that has reformed the existing church according to the Word of God, which is the key. So reformed according to the word is really the big idea. Reformed just sort of the shorthand way of describing that. And so that long history, 500 years or so of our particular strand of the Protestant Reformation, which we do believe roots us back in the Word of God, the prophets, the apostles, the ancient church.
Right. That's helpful. And I think it's so important to emphasize, today, if you present the name Reformed Church, most people, it's brand new to them. We've lived in a day in the United States where, we've had the whole, we're non-denominational Bible church sort of approach, mega church, all that has not wanted to tie itself to any particular tradition or history, which is, I've always felt, I hate to say this, I don't want to be cruel here, but that's somewhat arrogant. Because what we're saying here is we have a history. One of the things that I find, Danny, is that when I'm working with people who come out of maybe a non-denominational Bible background, is that they start looking and seeing, wow, look at the history and look at how people who came before us, Christians in whom the Holy Spirit worked 400 or 500 years ago, put down the truths of the Christian faith in some reformat for us so that we could understand what we believe and why we believe it. And then they realize, I've been pretty closed off to our history here. And I have to gently remind people today, if you have the freedom to worship in a non-denominational Bible church, where did that all start?
Right.
That wasn't always the case that you could come and open your Bible. That wasn't always the case that the common layperson had a Bible to read.
Right.
And the Reformation, which we call ourselves Reformed churches, I love to tell people, gave us back the Bible.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, the Bible, worshiping in your own language that you can understand, not just in a Latin mass that you didn't understand, having access to God in prayer, which was a novel idea at the time of the Reformation, to give people back their identity as a priesthood of all believers who can access Christ in prayer, worship, the Word, teaching their children these things in a language that they can understand. So yeah, it's just to bring it all back to the Word of God. And that struck me recently as I was on vacation, and we worshiped in a fairly large non-denominational Bible church. Just to see again for me, you know, having grown up in those kind of churches, to see again, although on paper there's a real strong statement about the infallibility, the inerrancy of the Bible, you know, we're a Bible church, you know, and so forth. But to see the lack of Bible in the actual time of worship, not just the singing and the praying, but even in the time of the sermon, just how little Bible there was, not even a Bible reading in the service, no recitation of something like the Apostles' Creed to kind of summarize the basic teachings. And so really, you know, for us here as Reformed pastors, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people to take up the Word of God, to hear it, to read it, and through that Word of God to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. And I think, you know, you grew up, our backgrounds, we're both in the same place today. Our backgrounds are somewhat different. That I grew up in a Reformed church, and what I experienced in the broader particular church itself, that particular denomination, was that they were somewhat embarrassed about being Reformed and therefore wanted to go back toward that broad evangelical movement. And there was that sense of a real loss of coming into contact with God in His Word as we meet with Him in worship. And I think that's the one thing that I really want to emphasize today. Well, if somebody said, okay, you guys are both Reformed church pastors. So we come down to the local Reformed church. Maybe we should first emphasize why you need to. But you come down to the local Reformed church. What are you getting? What is the emphasis? What does it look like? And I think that then opens up the question, what are the presuppositions that people come with today when they enter into a church? What are all the questions that they're asking, and what is, you know, the conviction of those who are in the Reformed tradition about worship, about God, about what we're doing? We really have a clash here sometimes. Yeah. of questions and presuppositions that really makes it hard to make a case for the importance of what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Yeah, that's right. I would say, you know, to a person who's thinking right now, you know, why should I go to any of these Reformed churches, and I would say the big thing that we're doing together in worship is that we're meeting God. And you know, when I was a Pentecostal, we talked a lot about encountering God or the presence of God. We believe that as Reformed Christians, as Reformed churches, to enter the presence of God in the beauty of His holiness, to meet with Him face to face as friends. The difference is, it's the focus is on how we do that. You know, what are the means, the things that God uses to connect with us and to communicate to us? And so when a person comes to a Reformed church, we're going to say, you know, here we are, we're entering the presence of God. We're coming into his holy presence before His face to sing, to praise, to give ourselves, to hear His Word. How? It's not going to be emphasized that we're doing that through music, that we're doing that through any other, you know, drama, videos. It's the Word. And so we access God through His Word. We read the Word in our worship. We preach the Word in our worship. We sing, even in our singing, a lot of Old Testament psalms, because they're the Word of God. We sing hymns, classic songs, and more contemporary songs that are just saturated with the Word. And that's the criteria. It's not, you know, do we have a guitar? Do we have drums or an organ? It's the content, and the prayer. You know, we pray to God through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and our fellowship is around that Word of God. So, you know, a person out there who's thinking about this, you know, really want to focus on and emphasize and encourage you to think about how you access God's presence. Is it through His Word or some other means? And what we think and what we believe is that the Bible says very clearly that, you know, it's through
the hearing of the word of God, that we come to have faith, to trust, to love our God.
Right. That's so helpful. I think, you know, the average churchgoer today approaches the church like a consumer. Yep. You know, we're so used to this, right? If I need a product, I'm going to go down to the store and I'm going to determine what's best for me, what I think I need. And I'm going to choose that based on the options, probably what has the best packaging. You know, I mean, all these different factors come into I am the sovereign as the consumer. And this makes a real challenge because, you know, what we're trying to recover, what we're trying to do here is bring about a great desire for God's word. We're meeting with God and we're presenting the word. We're preaching the word. We're singing the word. We're praying the word. That may not have all the glitter and all the jazz as everything else yep. out there. And that makes for a real challenge because most people who walk in, the first thing they're asking is, well, how am I going to be uplifted today? How am I going to feel today? We're so feeling driven. It's all about us instead of asking the really important question, what is worship? Why do I need worship? What is God doing for me in worship? What is my greatest need when I come into the house of God? And I think if we can start recovering and answering these questions for people, my conviction, Danny, is that so many people are on burnout right now because they're not getting anything of substance. I get this all the time. Yep. You know, we're just not getting anything. We're getting a pastor who's telling us all these stories and, hey, the band was great, but I'm not being spiritually nourished with the word of God. And this is what we're trying to recover, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people out there, even listening right now, they don't know that there's another option. They think, you know, there's only, you know, the church that I go to, there's the church on the street, there's this big church, there's that big church. But a lot of people don't realize that, like you said earlier, you know, your particular, even non-denominational Bible church has it comes from something. It's not to be arrogant, but, you know, we're that something.
It's true.
We're that something that you've come from. And yeah, you know, Reformed Church is not necessarily going to be the most exciting, the most uplifting, you know, powerful experience. But we believe, though, that it's in the very simple, regular, ordinary reading of the word, preaching of the word, baptizing people, celebrating the Lord's Supper together, praying. Those ordinary things God extraordinarily uses to strengthen our faith, to build our love, to impact the world. And so, you know, it may not be the biggest church, the coolest looking building, all the awesome programs that you're looking for that you think you need. What is it that you need? You need Christ. You need his gospel. You need to meet with him. You need his word. And so it's not about coming thinking, you know, what I can get out of it. You know, it's what I think I need. But really, the question is, well, what does God say that I need? It's not what I want. It's what he needs. Or it's not what I want, but it's what he says I need.
That's really helpful. Yep. God determines yep. for us what we need. We really don't know best in that. Just like my children don't know best, because if they sat down to eat all the time, they would eat candy all the time. I have my daughter say that to me the other day. I just, you know, when I get older, Dad, I'm going to eat candy all the time. And I said, no, you're not. I think Christians look at the church that we just yep. want candy yep. all the time. And then they wonder why they're not spiritually growing. Yep. And I think that's such an important point that, you know, if you look at the first sermon in Acts, Danny, you know, you look at what Peter did, where 3,000 people were saved. There was nothing that you would outwardly say, wow, to that. I mean, he really did show from all of the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ and the fulfillment of all the promises. So he took a string together of all these scriptures to prove that, and then to bring people to faith and repentance in him. And that's why we say, God has always said, it's the foolishness of the message yep. preached by which people are brought into the kingdom. If it's foolish, it'll never be something in our own flesh we want.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the big thing for us is to come to grips with that kind of a reality, that God is the one who determines. It's God who sets the agenda. It's the Lord who knows us better than we know ourselves. And so we very easily can wander off and search. And, you know, a lot of people out there might be burned out. They feel you know, disillusioned. Yeah, they feel sort of spiritually light and starving even. And if that's you, I encourage you to go online and to find the nearest Reformed church that you can find. And, you know, and not to say that we're all perfect or that they're all going to be necessarily, you know, what we're talking about, but to search out something of more substance, with more historic roots, that has a faith system that's set out. You know, say we have creeds and confessions that give us boundary markers, and to find a church where, you know, there's going to be reverence, there's going to be holiness, there's going to be true joy. And you know, one of the things I mentioned in my church recently was that what we're trying to do is to bring that transforming, life-changing grace of God, but that has long-term benefit, long-term lasting, you know, sustainability. Not just, yeah, like you said, the cotton candy or the quick sugar high and the fix, but what's going to last? What's going to last is the Word of God.
Right. And you know, I think you said something, again, we've tried to emphasize today on the program, historical roots. We've seen movements, and I've always gently said this to the baby boomers. If I ever go in the average megachurch today, it's full of gray-haired baby boomers rocking out to the praise band, but their kids have not connected with that. And their kids, we've seen all over the map and all these different movements, but what we see the movement toward is back to try to find something in history they can hold on to, because everything is so transitory. Everything is nothing's grounded for them in what they're being raised with today. They're searching, so they're going back to ancient rites and ancient things. Well, we have something to offer here, by the way. So, you know, and you wrote a book talking about the nursery of the Holy Spirit. One of our convictions as Reformed pastors is that our children need to be in church with us.
That's right.
One of our convictions is that we're passing the baton to them. Today, I want you to comment on this, Danny, that, you know, you could basically with, you know, when I was a kid, they were sending children out to children's church. And then, you know, while big church happened, they went to the youth group and then they had college group. You could essentially bypass coming into corporate worship, growing up in the time that I grew up, and never have any contact with God's word preached. And then we sit back and wonder why we're experiencing in the evangelical churches a mass of all young people leaving the church. You've taught them how to leave. You've taught them how to do it.
Yeah.
And so we're saying we want to recover that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's one of the things that I've seen too. It's you know, when a child is a child, of course you treat a child like a child. But we've taught Christians to think in childish ways, and we've treated them like children. Yeah. You know, children's church during the big church, junior high church when they get to junior high school church when they get to high school, college church. And then eventually, you know, yeah, you can go through college and have never sat in a worship service, you know, with a whole congregation. And we wonder, yeah, why they don't listen to the word? How come they don't know the scriptures that well? Why are they not so committed to the things that maybe we might be committed to? And so in Reformed Church, we want to say that ordinarily we want our children to be with us in the service to hear the word, to learn how to listen to the word,
right?
To sing, but also to learn how to sing and why we sing, and to pass down those things as well, and to teach them. You know, that's a challenge for us as pastors, of course, is to try to connect to a broad audience, you know, a 90-year-old and a 9-year-old or a 3-year-old, a college student, you know, a doctor, whoever. It's very challenging, of course, but the point is, yeah, we want to bring a whole community of people, grandparents, parents, children, great-grandchildren, and so forth, into one, you know, unit of worship, to the praise of God.
Right. And I think so summarizing here, notice how everything we're after here today is reform, which means we're reforming back to God's word. We want everything that we do in life to be conformed to that, but especially when we come into God's house to worship. We want our children to meet God in his word. We want to worship according to that word, to sing his word, to pray his word, that everything then we would enjoy. And one other aspect I want to emphasize shortly, because we're running out of time, the fellowship of the saints. Too many people today have learned to be self-feeders. That's one of my I get a little nervous about doing radio, is that everyone is just feeding off of the radio, and they've not enjoyed the blessing of being a part locally of the family of God. And I'm sure you have something to say about that.
Yeah. Just thinking about it, you know, a lot of us think of our spirituality, our Christian experience, as a very individualistic, one-on-one, me with God kind of a thing. And, you know, to our fault as broad evangelical churches, you know, we've created that, you know, with our different groups and subgroups and segments of our churches, we leave people on their own, or we leave them with people only who look like them, the same age as them, the same kind of job as them, life situation. But, you know, in a Reformed church, we want the whole church, the whole congregation to be a body, to be a place of fellowship where children can actually know older people and older members can pass down and teach younger children. And a young married couple can learn from an older married couple. A widow can be encouraged by a single high school student.
Right.
To all together, you know, work as a great cloud of witnesses to bring a great joy to themselves. And in that love, as Christ says, for each other, that's how the world, when they come, they'll see that he's real. They'll see that he's true.
Right. And this is the model in Scripture, that older men should train younger men. They should help them. And older women, these women who are in the struggle, trying to raise children, we're trying to recover all that. Yep. But yet the church has been so sliced out like a pie piece. You know, everyone in their own corner, in their own group. We're not saying small groups are wrong, but small groups can have the effect of what you just described, of so segregating and separating out the body that we don't have this kind of training going on. And we just don't do well as Christians alone. God didn't wire us to be alone. And so we need a community as we go through this together. Danny, that was super helpful today. You are a pastor at the Oceanside United Reformed Church. If you're in the North County here, that's right, North County?
Coastal North County,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, Coastal North County. Do please visit them at OceansideURC.org.
That's right.
OceansideURC.org. They would love to have you for worship. And if you're over here in the Escondido area, you're welcome to join us too at the Escondido United Reformed Church. We're so thankful you take time out of your day. Thank you, Danny, for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So until next time, may this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
Hi, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church, and I would like to personally invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. We are a church committed to giving you what you need, not necessarily what you want. We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what you need to be saved and to know the joy of His salvation. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Again, that web address is escondidourc.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully